Welcome to the Cooligans, baby. Oh my God. How are we doing? Better than Spain. That's how we doing.
We're feeling like Cape Verde right now.
Oh, bro. My God, bro. Can we get some of the followers that the goalkeeper had? Is that possible?
That's our biggest takeaway, bro.
Honey, can I make a couple saves against Lamine Yamal? Just wail it at my face, Lamine. Okay. I need some of them followers.
Welcome to the Cooligans,
everybody. The Cooligans.
We're daily here for the World Cup live at Yahoo Sports Studios. Excited to be here. My name is Christian Polanco.
Hey, what's up? I'm Alexis Guerrero. I think you guys know that.
Okay. We just got our names right there. Yeah. Anyway, okay. I'm not going to tell you how to do your job.
I've been floating around my head. What an insane... We're doing this daily, and every once in a while, I'm like, Uzbekistan versus North Korea. What are we going to talk about? But yo, there's always something to talk about with this World Cup. And yesterday, wow.
Yeah, I mean, the scenes, right? I mean, we saw what Germany did to Curaçao,
yeah,
right? And we were just like...
We were talking soccer.
Yeah, yeah.
Historically, that could have meant anything.
but I'm fully expecting kind of like more of the same. You know, Curaçao was the preview.
I thought Spain was going to body Cape Verde.
Yeah.
5-9, 15.
Yeah.
Bro, 0-0, which, by the way, that is a victory for Cape Verde.
And I think we're underestimating the teams qualifying out of Africa that seemingly, like, you know, I think the talent, the sort of disparity of the quality.
Are you from Texas? The talent.
The talent. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what's going on. Hey. There's something about the studio. Hey. I don't. Whatever. Hey, bro. Anyway. What's good, fam?
We're in New York. Back. Bacon, egg, and cheese. Let's go.
But no, I think the talent disparity is just not as stark as we may think, right? I mean, there are huge nations that did not qualify in this World Cup. Nigeria, I'm looking at you.
Yeah.
And Cape Verde did. And I think it really says, like, the slog to get through, mm-hmm. To qualify for this World Cup is a good amount of preparation when you're playing against the potential favorites to win the World Cup.
I'm not going to say it's not that, but I don't think it's that. I think that also exists. But for me, I think this is a story of discipline, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Cape Verde was like, I dare, we're not even going to move. You could kick the ball to the defender. You could be all up in the back line playing with that ball. We're going to let you have it for the whole time. I still walk away with a point.
Sure.
So this was absolutely incredible. I think it worked up until, and this man right here, Vozinha.
Yeah, the goalkeeper. 40 years old, made 8 incredible stops. But look at the XG on target, 1.46. There were some unreal finger, just a fingertip being the difference between, leaving that game with nothing. And
this is a legend making game. Like he will not pay for a drink ever in Cape Verde.
I mean,
I would move to Cape Verde if you don't already.
Mainly because I think he is now Cape Verde's most popular influencer. My man went, we got to get the detail. I don't know the number.
7.7 million followers?
That's what it is.
Damn.
He had about 46,000.
Which is half the population of Cape Verde. And now he has 75X.
At the whistle, in the beginning, the first whistle, he had something like 46,000. And when I looked at, we were in the group chat talking about this, and he was at 1.7 million.
And I was like, yo, you good. And then I saw it was 2 million. I'm like, well, then just stop. What are we doing? Okay, 7.7 million. He will be making more money off Instagram than he will.
Without a doubt, bro. Just do one twerking video on Instagram, dog, and you good for life.
You know what? Don't even wait for them to email you. Just hold up your favorite shampoo. I promise you.
my man.
With that little curl over your forehead, buddy, and you're making money.
An emotional story. Too, I thought, after the game, I thought he was like, he showed a lot of like poise and confidence. He was like, bro, like, yeah, I did it. Mm-hmm. And then as soon as his teammates rushed him and told him, like, bro, you are like a hero,
yeah,
he started crying, getting really emotional. Then we heard the story about his mother couldn't come to the World Cup because
she was going to be embarrassed at her son.
She was right? Worried.
That's the story?
No.
Okay, I read it wrong.
She couldn't. they didn't approve her visa, which is such a very common thing we're hearing throughout this World Cup, which is very disappointing. And I think that wave of emotion also came over him. Like he did this incredible thing and maybe couldn't share it with family that he wanted to share it with. But man, what a story.
You, walk around Cape Verde with your mom. People are going to be stopping you, congratulating you, and you will get that feeling because, wow, this is absolutely heroic. Now to the other side, Spain.
Yeah.
How you feeling if you're Spain? Also, how you feeling if you're Uruguay? You had a chance to really bump up. Saudi Arabia is above above Spain.
Bro, if you
in this table,
if you are a team that wears you know, light blue and white, you might not do well against Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, that's
so,
a good point.
So no, but this is a
Spain, this is absolutely, this was an opportunity to just, you know, and it sucks to say because I'm not trying to discourage or disparage any nation, but when you look at these smaller nations that are now able to get in because it's grown from 32 to 48, you look at Spain and you're like, oh, this is a chance for you to pad your stats. And you're looking at this here. What stats, bro? You didn't pad nothing. Zero. Spain's Mikel Oyarzabal is the first player on record since 1966 to play the first 30 minutes of a FIFA World Cup match without touching the ball once.
That's insane.
Bro, were you like, it's like a controller's broken and your player's just running into the corner like, don't get over here, Maji. We need you.
Oyarzabal, I also don't, I mean, the fact that he was the starting striker. Yes, he can play that role. He is a winger to me. He should, there should be other options.
Spain won the Euros without a striker. I think Oyarzabal is a good upgrade over Ghost.
It's just when you're
my dad. You're
gonna
just be not there.
You're going to be playing against very, very defensive teams at times. And clearly, look, it didn't work. And this is why, I mean, also the miss from Ferran Torres. I forgot it was in the first half.
A lot of jokes going around about Ferran Torres.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, that was incredible. Right. I mean,
I actually heard Ferran Torres play shooting guard for the San Antonio Spurs.
Okay.
What about that?
Ferran Fox.
Damn, son. That's Fox's shooting guard, shooting trainer.
No, but he took two shots, so 0.66 XG, but that a perfectly laid off ball by Cucurella and all Ferran Torres tap it. He didn't even have to put any power on it. There was nobody in front of him, and he hits it over the. No, he hits the crossbar.
Yeah, two things that this match proves: God is Cape Verdean, and two, if you're Spain, don't worry because they looked a lot more dangerous when they had Lamine Yamal in. And I think Lamine Yamal is able to break down a low block like this because he's that dynamic coming off the wing. And that was Cape Verde's whole plan. It's like, all right, you could have it in the wing, but you're not going to get an easy shot off in front of goal, at least without a bunch of us collapsing in front of you. And Lamine Yamal will break that. So if you are Spain, not get nervous, you're gonna be aight.
Yeah, and he also, and let me know,
de bon and nervioso.
Okay, you got it.
I forgot I was talking Spain.
Nervioso.
Okay? Nervioso. Just, por favor, no sé.
They're not gonna understand what you're saying.
Look, resources. We should steal them. Sorry, I'm just talking to Spanish.
Okay. Let's move on to somebody Lionel who is most likely, it's gonna be his last World Cup, Lionel Messi.
We keep saying that, but you know, Cristiano Ronaldo is gonna be there for another 10 years.
Anything could happen. But he starts his possibly, most likely, his last World Cup campaign tonight. And we can start with every 4 years we have the same conversation. I think even more before he won the World Cup in 22. What impact will his GOAT status sort of take, whether he is successful or unsuccessful in this World Cup?
I think he's already the GOAT. I don't think there is a conversation to be had. If you are a Cristiano Ronaldo stan and you think he's the GOAT, he needs to win a World Cup to upend, to usurp what Lionel Messi has done. If you are I'm a Maradona guy, then maybe Messi you think needs to win a second one. I personally don't think that. I think Messi has won so many trophies in the club game, and obviously being able to, the one thing with him was like you never got your own nation over the hump. He's won a Copa America. He's won a World Cup. I'm happy with where he's at. He's won a League's Cup. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, without that, Cristiano Ronaldo's
never even sniffed an MLS Cup.
Until he got the MLS Cup, I'm like, I don't know. Dog.
He won the Landon Donovan Most Valuable Player Award. Exactly. Now, let me tell you something. The Maradona wishes he won that.
I honestly think, as far as this GOAT debate, whether you find it annoying or not, I think the only person that has a case here is Pelé because of his multiple World Cup. I mean, I think it's fair, but the amount of success for that Lionel Messi has, whether it's individual awards, whether it's trophies at clubs, is pretty much insurmountable. I don't know who can really compete, but when it comes to, World Cups are like what the general kind of soccer public that maybe isn't as obsessed with the sport as we are, that's kind of what they pay attention to. And World Cups are define careers to a lot of people. And if Messi could get two, Pelé has three. If Messi could get two, those two in my opinion, are worth more than those three at the time. The era was a, it was a different time, not taking anything away, but what the combination of the just the resume that Lionel Messi has for the clubs he's played for and in World Cup, if he can get another one, there's no debating it that he would be the greatest player that has ever lived. And I don't think in our lifetimes we will see another player come even close to the level of accolades.
I mean, I hope I do. I hope I, you know, there's a 5 or 6 more players in my lifetime that I get to have this conversation about. I just don't think it'll happen. But if the conversation is Pelé, I mean, you're going to get the talk that it was like maybe the era was a little bit too bygone. Maybe and also he never played in Europe. You know what I mean? You're going to get some arguments there.
Yeah.
If you're going to talk about Maradona, some people are going to say, oh, you know, Messi, people who like Maradona say like, oh, Messi had to get, you know, whatever, supposedly those injections when he was young to be able to this height. You know, Maradona also, he did a couple performances in his time, you know what I mean?
They helped him perform at the nightclub, really.
Also, I mean, he woke up for the game. He may not have felt right, but let me tell you something, he got right during the game, you know, in the halftime. You know? So, you know, in the end, I think it all balances out. But if you ask me to start the list, and if I had to, even if it's by a smidge, even an asterisk, I think Messi goes up top. I just think there's something about the way he's
even now,
if he walks away from this World Cup right now, he's still number one.
Okay, that's fair. I mean, I'm not really disagreeing that partially. I just think in my opinion, Pelé has the greatest case to make in this debate at this point. So, man, yeah, I mean, these are historic figures. We have to kind of. This World Cup.
The trophy he's holding isn't even the one we give out now. That's how old this photo is.
We got it right here, that's bro. No,
but he's holding, what is it, the Jules Rene?
I don't know, but.
Am I close? It's French. But it got stolen. No one even knows where it is. Bro, that's how old it is. The photo's in black and white. Crazy. When that photo was taken, like one of those light bulbs exploded. You know what I mean? Okay. It was a long time ago.
All right. Well, this is modern times, and we got a lot of modern things to discuss, bro. Okay?
Take a better photo with the.
A lot more show in store. We got we're gonna be talking previewing some matches. Herve Renard is now the what you call it? Is now the coach of Tunisia.
We're
gonna
this guy won't go away.
Talk
World
about
Cup
that
happens. He had buttons, two top buttons.
And we're gonna be joined a little bit later by a special guest, Michael Timms, aka Timzy. All the way from London. Okay, so Argentina, are we going right into it now? Right, Argentina. They're playing. Algeria. Algeria. We talked about this yesterday.
Yeah.
The Algerian fans have been in Kansas City.
Lawrence, Kansas is now the capital of Algeria.
Right, and then seen the scenes of Argentinian fans in Kansas City as well, and they have taken over.
There's a lot of them.
When we did the Premier League Fan Fest, the Light and Power District, they're all there. All the Argentinians are there. So that's been dope to see. But we're looking at the expected 11 for Argentina right now, and not really any surprises here. And this is the only. This is my only concern. Is that the 2022 team
looks a lot like
this is kind of what we're seeing now. Right here we have Thiago Almada, who I'm not sure. This is an expected 11. Who I don't know if he's going to be the starter necessarily, but the team looks a lot like the 22 team. And do they have enough as far as like just they have the experience, do they have the youth, do they have the energy to playing in this heat? I know it's hot in Qatar as well. But do they have it? They're going to be playing like some games during the day. I just have those little concerns of like, do they have enough to do what they did in 2022?
I mean, I think the question becomes like they're a little bit older, right? And do they have enough depth, right? But you've got Lautaro Martinez on the bench. You know what I mean? Like you've got some other people that can come in. The one name I'm most worried about is probably Lionel Messi just because of his age at this point. He's playing in MLS, which now he's a little bit more accustomed to the extreme heat. You're playing in Florida.
The travel.
Consistently, you're much more familiar with the travel, exactly. And I think at the end of the day, the only question is, has he slowed down a little bit?
Yeah.
You know, can you hide that a little bit more in MLS than you would be able to in a European league? And are we going to see that exposed? Maybe not against Algeria, but maybe once you get to the knockout rounds. I think this is going to simply be a question of like, who's the subs? who are the first subs and how early do you make them and how early do you have to make them? But I think similar to what I would have said about Spain had we previewed the game, I'm really confident they're going to win.
Yeah.
Which means Cape Verde, you know, draws 0-0 to Argentina. I don't know. That's how that's going to work.
No, the group that they're in, I think we'll have it up in a second, but the group that they're in, Argentina are heavily, heavily favored.
Yeah, yeah, it would be.
I know Jordan is in the group as well.
Cool.
DeAndre? And so they clearly they should do just fine. Yeah, Jury, Austria and Jordan. I can't imagine.
Everyone assumes like the fight is for second and third in this one.
Pretty much.
Just try not to get beat as bad by Argentina, and then you know y'all fight.
This if all goes, I mean, the World Cup has already given us a couple surprises, but if all goes to plan, this is going to be like. You get the first game out of the way, win the second game in the first half.
Yeah,
get Messi on the bench. Don't even play him in the third. You know, kind of thing. Yeah, yeah.
What about this? What about lose the first game like you did against Saudi Arabia and then win the World Cup?
This is what you need to do for the storyline.
I mean? Am I thinking outside the box? The answer is yes.
So, yeah, this is the surprises from a couple teams already. Last night we had all draws, obviously Spain, Cape Verde. Iran, New Zealand was kind of crazy.
Iran, New Zealand was one of the best matches I've seen in the World Cup. And I don't think I would have told you that prior.
So, yeah, there's a... Look, there's always a chance that teams show up. Yes, it is Argentina, and like we saw at the last World Cup, where Saudi Arabia gave Argentina a lot of trouble. Anything could happen. You know that's again like highlighting the same thing. That is my concern of like, can the team just have the same energy? Because they're not going to have the same. The same fervor that they did in 22, because the motivation was to win Messi a World Cup, and now you don't have that anymore.
We're talking a little bit about age, and I want to point out here in the Algeria first love, what's the name that rings the bell the most?
Riyad Mahrez, obviously.
That man won the Premier League 40 years ago.
How is it 2015, possible? 2016.
Yeah. I remember it. Trust me, Danny Welbeck off the fade, and it still wasn't enough. But I'm looking at this. There's also a guy named Zidane on the bench. Just start him, just for the vibes, please. But
that's Zidane's son. I believe so.
It's awesome that he picked Algeria, by the way.
It is his son. Yeah, awesome.
Okay, I'm looking at this, and I'm sitting here thinking, just because simply the names, mm-hmm. I think this is going to have to be a group effort. You know what I mean? Against a team like Argentina, which is just stacked with mostly individual stars.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Ait Nouri from Manchester City as well as another big time player. The left.
Oh, they've got some great players.
They got some great players. Yeah, I think there's an opportunity for some surprises here. This is not going to be a Germany Curacao. I would say this will be the toughest game over Austria. This will be the toughest game for Argentina. So
if you're Algerian, you got to go back home. You just want to do better than Tunisia. You know what I mean?
Wow.
Can you just do better in this tournament than Tunisia?
That's the barometer for success. Yeah. Okay. So a lot of fun match. We got three matches today, so a lot to look forward to. Excited about it. We got a lot more show coming up. So we'll be right back after this.
Welcome back to the Cooligans, and big shock, there's not a World Cup without this guy's chest sticking out. Irv Renard gets another job. Irv Renard becomes the head coach of Tunisia after Tunisia fired their head coach after a pretty brutal loss. Irv Renard he sleeps for 4 years and then wakes up and takes over a World Cup team. Look at us, a hot new bombshell enters the village.
Hell bro. That was you, huh? Yeah, I tweeted that.
I know that's a Love Island thing, but I've already forgotten. But this guy looks like the dude on the cover of the book your mom bought at the while waiting in line to pay for groceries.
Yeah, your mom and dad might be getting divorced too when she buys that book.
Why is your mom buying so many batteries? and a picture of Irv Renard. We got to talk to you about two Christmases.
I was thinking, I'm just like, man, are the World Cup ratings dipping? Yep. We got to introduce a new hottie?
Bring a thought into this. Into the mix.
No,
Bernard is good, but he's going to provide you similar to what you know we've seen him do, whether it was with the France women's team or whether it was with Saudi Arabia in the two stints where he managed there.
Yeah,
it's very much an old school, you know, park the bus, hit him on the counter. If it's similar to Cape Verde, if we draw nil-nil, we still walk away with the point. So, I mean, I'm happy. He's the Sam Allardyce, which he would hate.
The
World Cup version of Sam Allardyce.
Much thinner and more handsome.
It's crazy how good looking he is, though. I mean, if you were to film Born Identity now, this would be the villain.
Yeah, right? sure.
This would be the guy.
No, this is, look, I think the halftime speech in the 2022 World Cup in Qatar, with Saudi Arabia, I think changed the trajectory of this man's career. I mean, obviously, it led to a victory. If they don't win that game, probably nobody pays attention.
You're saying even football coaches have to go viral? Damn,
I'm just saying he was like
you can't have a career without it.
He was aura farming a little bit, right?
Yeah, a little bit. He's like, is the camera on? All right, spritz me with some sweat.
get the lights right.
Should
for
I
me.
Go 4 buttons or 5 on button?
But that moment, I think, we're sort of joking around, but it was, I mean, clearly inspiring. I mean,
It worked. Yeah.
So the only concern I have is like the you bring in a coach that the Tunisian coach loses 5-1 to Sweden, and even to me that's like, all right, we're panicking quite a bit. Yeah. It seems a little early to do this, but we were talking yesterday, like clearly something was wrong. You don't make that. You
something
don't fire the guy immediately. So
Urban Art is the cover your butt move for the federation. To be like, you can't get mad at me because look at me. I'm bringing in one of the best managers available. He took Saudi Arabia and beat Argentina with them. So,
But he has no time to implement any kind of his ideas.
It's his tactics. Everybody get close to your own goal.
So we'll see if he can motivate. And this is why you bring him.
That's why you bring him in.
Yeah, just motivate these guys, because clearly something was going on behind the scenes that we're probably never going to know or not know for a while. Mm-hmm. Especially after the 22 World Cup, it's fun that we just have him back. We're going to run it back. We'll do it again.
You're someone I wish would go into coaching, because that would mean he would hang his boots up. Cristiano Ronaldo.
Oh, okay.
We've seen enough of you, buddy. He's arrived to his last World Cup, but at this point, is he still an attacking weapon or is he a roster problem? My thoughts are, when I saw them win the Euros, I saw him on the sideline and I was like, bro, he's inspiring this team. He's injured. He can't be there for the end of it, but he's telling everyone where to go. And the more I watch it, the more I'm like, yo, let that coach do his job, bro.
Okay.
And I feel for Roberto Martinez, because I'm looking at this and I'm saying, he probably doesn't really have full control of that locker room, right? Like, you have to kind of constantly appease a guy like Cristiano Ronaldo. And I don't want to say it's his ego. It looks like it might be. But I still think it's because he really wants to win so bad. But he truly believes he is the guy that can help you win. And if you have an assessment that he's not that guy anymore, there's no way to get that point across to him. Because he's going to be like, what are you talking about? I'm Cristiano Ronaldo.
Right. I mean, this
is... I just won the Saudi League.
it's going to require a decent level of humility from him.
Okay.
The
likelihood of that is?
I don't know. I mean, I don't want to make any kind of presumptions of what... Like,
hilarious, because I want to make a bunch of presumptions.
I'm just saying, like, I'm going to assume that Roberto Martinez has some direction and is not completely influenced. Like, to me, like, Neymar's inclusion in the Brazil squad seems like the federation being like, Carlo, like, come on, bro. We gotta sell some shirts. We gotta do what we gotta do. Like, business is business. Yeah. For the other 25 guys,
three goalkeepers.
But I've spoken to Portuguese people in these last couple of weeks, and there was one dude that said, I think Portugal could win the World Cup if Ronaldo doesn't play.
Okay, but then here's the thing. So who you replace him with? Looking at the 11 now, Cristiano Ronaldo up top, you would probably replace him with Gonçalo Ramos.
Yes.
Right? And look, while Gonçalo Ramos is a great player, if you're Roberto Martinez, if you're the person who makes that decision and you don't win the World Cup, people are going to say, well, you would have won it if you started Ronaldo. And even though you and I probably know that's not the case, that is going to be an overwhelming force from the public, especially from the Portuguese public. So in a way, you almost have to put him out there. Hope he's buns, like, right away.
Yeah, right. He has to ruin it himself. You see how he play. I
don't want that man to get injured. You know what I mean? So I'm replacing him with... You almost have to lead him to it himself.
Yeah.
And I think that may be what we're seeing. We're looking at Gonçalo Ramos right now. I mean, 25 games, 10 starts, 10 goals. he's an efficient scorer, especially when it comes to the national team. He's not the highlight. He's not the name you're probably going to get on the back of your shirt. He's not going to sell extra tickets. But my God, he could probably do a better job than a 41-year-old, 42-year-old.
Is he 41? Yeah, no, he's 40. Yeah. But he's probably close to 41.
Not that he's not in great shape. He is.
Yeah, but you're
still, I mean, your muscles don't trigger as fast.
Yeah, I mean, but you've seen even his performances, Ronaldo's performances at Al Nasser, yeah. And it's still...
I've seen him.
Say it again?
I've seen him.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen a couple of these.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they won the league, I believe, and all this stuff. I've said this all the time, and this is Cristiano Ronaldo's like body language when he doesn't get the ball, when he misses a shot, when it's just the, it doesn't inspire anybody.
No, and here's the thing. There may be a case to say, maybe he's just frustrated with himself, but body language, perception is reality.
Yeah.
It doesn't look like that. It makes the other players, for the most part, feel like they're doing a bad job of feeding him. And I bring it back to when he went back to Manchester United for his second stint. I got the sense that Bruno Fernandes, whether you think he's great or not, Bruno Fernandes was constantly trying to feed him the ball versus make the correct pass at that moment.
Okay.
And to me, I think that's what's going to happen with this Portugal squad. Yeah. And I have more of a fear of that than I do him being a step too slow or whatnot, because he's such an athlete and he's such a gamer that I feel like he's going to find himself in the right spot. You know what I mean?
I don't.
To me, the biggest issue is that everyone's going to be trying to feed him the ball.
Just the fact that this is this piece that is like, even as fans watching the game, we're all like sort of confused as to what is his role what is his influence on the rest of the team. I think he's done. I would be surprised if he even has a decent tournament. We should probably do like an over-under, like how many goals do we think Cristiano Ronaldo will score?
Can Cristiano Ronaldo score more than Cape Verde? That's the real question.
That's an interesting comparison. I mean, will he get 3 goals? Over under a 3 goals.
He does that in the first
game. And he's never, I believe,
eating our words.
I believe, somebody correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe Cristiano Ronaldo has never scored a knockout goal in a World Cup, right? Which I don't see happening. But yeah, this is
Christian Pulisic has more assists in the World Cup than he does.
There, ergo, Christian Pulisic. I
mean, I'm not saying it.
So yeah, you wonder if the midfield for Portugal can
let's pull up their 11 so we can take a look at their midfield, because that's going to be the question, right? I mean, probably one of the stronger midfields in the game.
Yeah,
not probably. I would actually say my favorite midfielder plays for this team in Vitinha. He's just absolutely incredible. I know it's difficult as an Arsenal fan to say, but just what an absolutely electric midfielder. I absolutely love Vitinha. But you've got the likes of Bruno Fernandes. You've got João Neves. I mean, this is an absolutely stacked midfield where if any of these fullbacks just even overload a little bit, how are you going to get the ball if you're facing Portugal?
Yeah, I mean, and look, when it comes to playing against DR Congo, Portugal should dominate this game. It's hard when it comes to like possession.
Possession,
we'll see,
for sure.
It just always does feel like everything is kind of right until you get up top. And we saw when Portugal played against the United States, and were also fantastic. Cristiano Ronaldo didn't travel with the team and didn't play. And they looked fantastic. I mean, that's it. This is the thing. It's just like the amount of like recent data that we kind of have. I mean, I think Ronaldo was like kind of okay in the qualifiers and stuff like that, but once it gets to some really, really tough competition, or even that, does he have enough like creativity left? Does he like, I know you can rely, I mean, you have great midfielders, but once in a while, you're going to have to do something crafty to create your own opportunities. And he hasn't really shown that pretty much since he left Manchester United.
This is why I think Giroud was so effective towards the end of his career, because he realized like, okay, I ain't got all those other things I used to have.
Yeah.
Even though my brain tells me I can do that, I understand I should do that. I don't have the ability to do that in my legs, so I'm going to play off the shoulder. I'm going to, you know, keep company the center back. I'm going to drag them out of position. I'm going to make everyone else better. My problem is that you have to be willing to put yourself on the line for that. I don't know if Cristiano Ronaldo's that guy. We're about to find out.
He's never been a converted striker. He was always a winger.
Yeah.
At Real Madrid. Yes. Even all the step overs and stuff. Every highlight you ever really saw was either on the left wing doing a bunch of fun stuff or bicycle kicks in the at the top of the box, right? So he's not. He always had Benzema. He had incredible strikers to play off of, and if you're just asking him to find the open spaces and that's just like not really his game, and he hasn't adapted to it.
It's also not where he shines, but also we don't know if he's going to be able to shine or anything. Yeah. I mean, it's so frustrating. And if you're this is the expected lineup for DR Congo, if you are a Congolese player, you're looking at this as an opportunity. Like, all right. There's a weakness there. You know what I mean? Yeah. Maybe they're not going to press, and maybe that's going to give us a little bit more possession of the ball, because if you're DR Congo, you're probably going to have to go over that midfield. You're not going to be able to play through it. And not to suggest that DR Congo is a bad team by any stretch. Not many nations will be able to play through that midfield. So as far as I'm concerned, if you're DR Congo, this is going to be those opportunities. And I actually think after watching much of these, this is why I think the water break is so essential for some of these smaller nations.
Oh, sure.
Because it gives you two other touch points to talk to your team and be like, what the hell are you doing out there, bro?
Yeah.
I never did that in training once. You know what I mean? And it allows you to sort of reframe. But here we have some breaking news.
Yeah, we just got in our ears. What is it? We don't know what this is. Ben Jacobs.
Roberto Martinez will leave Portugal after this World Cup, regardless of how the team performs. Martinez has already decided not to renew his contract, which expires after the tournament. He is open to a Premier League return, but hasn't ruled out taking another.
Another international job. Okay.
Okay, USA?
Okay.
Argentino's leaving. That's the rumor.
That is a rumor. Roberto Martinez was a commentator for like ESPN for a long time. So he's very familiar with
English.
He does. Okay. Well, interesting. I mean, I'm sure there's also the feeling of like, bro, why are you talking about this now, bro? We haven't even started playing. Why are you blowing up my business?
This is his way of emotionally winning over the locker room. You know what I mean?
Well, they're going to be inspired by leaving Roberto.
And everyone's going to walk past Ronaldo. Ronaldo's going to be like, am I not here? Am I not the guy with 58 snatches?
Like, Roberto, we saw what you did at Everton. And
We're all Wigan fans. The way you were in the Champions League and the Championship at the same time.
I'm not necessarily a huge surprise. I also think his hiring was also quite a surprise from because he was the Belgian coach.
Yeah.
And it was a fairly unsuccessful run in the last World Cup. And then immediately he is hired for Portugal. And everybody's like, my man is failing upward? How is this working exactly?
I'm actually a Roberto Martinez stan, man. I think he's great.
I love him. I think he's great. I mean, he's definitely a great person, great personality. I love the chapter from Grant Wall's book about him. Fascinating guy. But then it's just the shortcoming. Also, I'm an Everton fan. He was the Everton manager for a while. And just a little, it was always a little bit like underwhelming, a little slightly unimpressive, but nobody ever said he was a bad dude. So
I certainly didn't. Remember that, everyone. Okay. We're going to have a little bit more show right after this. In fact, let's go to break. But when we come back, wow, we got a special guest. Oh, my God.
Let's go. Oh, hey, welcome back, everybody. And we are joined by the homie all the way from London. I want Alexis to introduce him because we got a fellow Arsenal.
That's right.
Arsenal connect.
Couple gooners in the room. Put your tarps out. the one, the only, I want to say my buddy, but I think it's the first time we physically meet. Michael Timms, everybody. Yeah. Timms, he's in the building.
Nice to see you guys.
Cheers,
nice to
brother.
See you guys.
Yeah, man. Thank you so much for coming through. It's nice to have you, in London. You had done the show, our podcast a couple years ago. Alexis wasn't in town, so we spoke. But there's you are someone who I'm sure people seeing you now, they're like, I've seen this guy's face.
Yeah. Well, he's drinking tea with random British.
Yeah, exactly. No, I've actually had that a few times since being here. Like I was by Madison Square Garden when the Knicks obviously won the championship, and I got seat like four or five times. I was drunk.
Yeah.
Right. Out there celebrating like with my friends because I'm a New Yorker now. And just got stopped by people. Like, Timsy, missed the Copa 90 days. And I'm like, why? Why? Why?
I love
We're here for the Knicks, right?
Well, there's a massive overlap between Knicks and Arsenal fans.
Yeah,
so,
yeah,
as you can
I've
see,
come to see that.
The
yeah.
reason why you're here is because, one, you speak with that accent. So you're from England.
Yes.
And England is about to play a really big match against Croatia.
Yes.
What are your thoughts? I hate asking British people, what are your thoughts on the England team? Because you're all very cynical. You're all very pessimistic.
Yeah.
And you think if you're proud of your team, they're going to lose and it's going to be your fault.
Yeah.
So it sucks having this conversation with
all
you.
Of those
honestly,
things.
From your heart, how you really feeling about this team?
I feel good. I feel good. Mm-hmm. I don't think we're going to get the job done. But it always, when, at the start of the tournament, as soon as we start playing and then, you know, we score a goal. So it's like, oh, it has to be coming home.
Right, right.
Every single time, without fail, every tournament. I going into the tournament, I actually feel less confident than I have done. 2022, super confident. The Euros, very confident. This, not so much just because of the a lot was said about the team selection, the squad selection, and notable omissions. Mm-hmm. But I think we obviously have a chance. I just feel that France are so good.
Spain will find their feet. Your bench, all your reserves could probably get to a quarterfinal in this World Cup.
Sure.
When you say notable omissions, who was that?
I would have brought Maguire.
Okay.
Just big H doing his thing.
Mm-hmm.
Cole Palmer and or Phil Foden, one of those two. I don't know. I understand why Tuchel's gone with the team he's gone for and the squad he's gone for. But I don't know. Seeing that a starting 11 right now, I love it. And that's actually amazing.
Weak point is Reece James, only because of the injury history. Although he's really good stepping into the midfield, which is the guy he replaced. He's the most notably known for that, Trent Alexander-Arnold.
Yeah.
You think Trent Alexander-Arnold gets a Spanish tutor, he moves to Madrid. You think he'd suddenly be a better choice for this squad. Doesn't make the squad. Were you shocked?
A little bit. I was more shocked by Cole Palmer not being it, because I think, especially with how this World Cup has obviously increased, like the number of teams, and it's just going to be a longer tournament than usual. It's hot. I think squad depth is going to play such a key role compared to previous World Cups. And so rather than having, and I've met the guy, I've had him on Tea with Timsy, Jordan Henderson, right? Yeah. Great guy.
Yeah, yeah.
But when it comes down to it, if you're playing against the team in a knockout round, 15 minutes to go, you need something special. You don't bring a Jordan Henderson on the pitch. You bring a Cole Palmer, for example, come on and like he did in the final of the Euros in 2024. So I think we've maybe missed a trick there, but equally, Thomas Tuchel, he's obviously a great manager and I trust him.
Yeah, Cole Palmer had like a up and down season, or not the season that we sort of expected.
But then so have loads of the players.
It's fascinating because we look at the American manager, Mauricio Pochettino. One of the critical decisions was bringing Gio Reyna, who's played like 40 seconds for his club.
Sure.
Scores a Trivella.
Unbelievable.
Pochettino sprints the entire pitch to hug him.
So there's something to be said about like just bringing someone who could bring the vibe.
Exactly. Who can just light a spark when they need to. And look, it worked for you guys. So maybe it could work for us.
Looking at the upcoming schedule, is there one match that you're most worried about when you look at this?
It will be probably this game, to be honest, just because, England against Croatia and England against Panama are two of the most just typical World Cup. I feel like it's been the last four World Cups that's been a game that has been played. It's the Croatia game, especially we've seen with these first games of the tournament. It takes, I think, a little while for countries to find their fit. Spain, same thing, totally not surprised. Netherlands, I think it's very rare that a team just looks super comfortable from the outset. It takes a little bit of time to either find the right starting 11 and just get up to speed with, it could be the pitch, could be the weather, even in those climate-controlled stadiums, you know.
You're right, right.
So it takes a little bit of time. So I think if there is going to be a slip-up, it probably will be this one. But equally, I think we have enough. I wouldn't be surprised this kind of got 1-1 or 2-2 written all
this over. This is a rematch of the 2018 semi-final. Yeah. So I think both teams
We've progressed a lot since then. And I think more than Croatia. Croatia, you know, they've had their time in the last two World Cups. And then they come, all 45 years old and run 12K a game.
Like they're going to print this out. The transcript of him saying this.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay.
The thing for me with England is, at what point does the press and the fans become the worst enemy of the squad?
I don't feel it this time. I don't know why. Don't feel it. I think so much has been said about this.
Have you been in New York? You lost this innate feeling of when it's all going to go to shit.
I had a bacon, egg, and cheese sandwich this morning. I felt like a New York. I sat in Washington Square Park, I was surrounded by just some very extravagant people, and I'm a New Yorker now. No, maybe I have lost sight of it all. Yeah. But I think, I don't know if it's the distance or the fact that there hasn't been as much expectation actually going into this tournament. Well, you know, it's a change of manager, which is a big thing. The squad maybe isn't as exciting as it has been in previous seasons. So I think that slight lack of expectation is actually going to play into, will be good for us, I think, going forward.
Everything's got to be in the right place for England.
It has. Stars have to align. People need to chill out.
They don't share our delusion. No, we saw US, what the US did to Paraguay, and it's just like, okay, well, everybody get in line. Now that the U.S. will now be ranked number one in FIFA, everybody has to adjust.
Yeah, USA against Cape Verde in the final. It's going to be.
We all see the vision.
Yeah. I'm here for it, man. Honestly. I'm not even wearing England top. I'm wearing a Jamaica top. They're not even in the World
Cup. He's hedging his bets, folks.
When it comes to any players that you're looking forward to watching or you think that will stand out, we've had a lot of conversation about who might win Golden Boot or something like that. Any particular player stand out on the England squad?
I like that you're asking me this as if I'm like the England expert.
No.
Well, you got that accent, buddy.
Well, yeah, exactly.
I'm not going to ask you about Tunisia.
Yeah, please don't. I would say, Harry Kane, sure, but that's a given.
Right.
Saka, maybe not, just because he's still struggling, I think, to come back from his Achilles injury. I would say it's between two, three, and it's the midfielders. So it'll be Declan Rice. I think our progression is massively down to how he plays and how he controls that midfield. But equally, how important the partner is going to be for him. So Anderson, I want him to play as much as possible because I think he's an amazing player as well. And Morgan Rogers. I love Jude, but Morgan Rogers seems to be, just has that confidence about him right now, and I think can do something special. So I'm having a particular look at that midfield. I think it's going to come from our defence, and I think Harry Kane is just going to do Harry Kane things. I think it's the midfield has the potential to stand out and really help us get there.
I think Declan Rice in this particular tournament sort of makes the England national team, the English squad, his own. You know,
yeah,
I mean?
Man. He's official vice skipper now.
Yeah. He feels as the real leader. I'm not getting that same vibe from Jude anymore. For some reason,
I think also I got that feeling from Jude. I think the domestic season actually has a lot to do with their confidence and how they kind of feel in themselves when they get into the summer internationals, because we saw it with Jude last time in the Euros, like the confidence that was coming out of him and the fact that he scored an overhead kick it was typical and expected. And I think you're going to probably get that now from Declan Rice, who has increased, who's progressed in importance in this team, and the fact that now he is a champion. I'm going to say it again, he's a champion in the Premier League. Harry Kane has come off a historic season, and I think you're going to see that directly translate into where they just, they look, their shoulders are back and their chests are out. You know, I think if I was a player, that's how I would carry myself. It's like, no, I've done absolute wonders in the domestic season.
Yeah.
And you're just going to carry that through.
Just to make a quick point to your point, I think it's going to help Harry Kane, the fact that he doesn't play in England. That expectation is, well, he's doing great because all they see is highlights.
Yeah.
You know how English people are. They don't watch anything that's not the English Premier League or below.
Yeah.
They don't watch anything across Europe unless it's Champions League. So for them, they just see highlights. So to them, he's great. And that is going to take away the expectation of the constant conversation. It's like, can he do it? Does he have it? Blah, blah, blah. Morgan Rogers may be walking in with more pressure on him.
But possibly.
Or Declan Rice because he won.
Yeah, Declan Rice because he won. We won. And I just think, but Harry Kane, don't get it wrong, every single person in England realizes that Harry Kane is our GOAT.
Yeah.
Really. Like, he's really up there with the best player England has ever produced and has.
Yeah.
Because the goals he scored, but equally if we've watched him in the Champions League and for Bayern, like, he just runs the whole game. Not literally runs, but he controls the whole game. And he
checks back to the centre backs to get the ball.
But it's crazy. So he plays like a quarterback, and then suddenly 10 seconds later, he's on the end scoring a goal with his left foot, half volley, top quarter. Like, what's going on? You know, right. I don't think he needs to necessarily do that for England, but he probably will. And I like the way, I think anyway, our team is set up for being a little bit more fluid, just because there's no out and out. Saka is obviously a right winger, but likes to cut in. You know, Rashford or Gordon, I don't know who's going to play there. So there's no, I think, absolute starter apart from Kane and that midfield. And so I think fluidity is going to be the name of the game for our progression.
I mean, you mentioned midfield, but like the comparison in both midfields, like that midfield battle, you would have to assume England should fairly dominate. You're going to be, it's going to get Luka Modric and Mateo Kovacic,
but
they should be better than them.
You say should, but
they should, right?
You've named two eternal central midfielders. Yeah, like
wait till they meet Declan Ricic.
Yeah.
You feel me?
But I think the way Dec is, he's like approaching his prime, I think. But because he is a horse. He's an English thoroughbred horse.
Right.
And I don't know how long you can keep running like that. Just as a human.
Sure. And then with also the amount of matches that Declan Rice in particular has played.
Their diet isn't beer and beans on toast.
No, you
know what I mean? Yeah, true.
But they are getting more time.
But Declan Rice has played more football than most footballers in the world, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he's played in every competition, gotten far in pretty much all of them.
Yeah.
And so if he's going to be an important piece, then also the how he is maintained is going to be an important factor.
Whatever the Croatians did in the two previous World Cups, that's what he needs to do for the next two World Cups. Because their stamina is just incredible.
Right, you know, Luka Modric just like lifts up like the Undertaker.
Yeah. I haven't seen him in like two seasons. Yeah. And now suddenly he's just like, well, he's going to be there running
he's
things.
He's starting.
Yeah, exactly.
It's crazy.
It's totally impressive.
Yeah. I mean, he's, you know, when he was at Spurs under Harry Redknapp, I didn't see what I saw until he got to Real Madrid. And I'm I hate saying this about a former Tottenham player, but he might be one of my favorite midfielders at that time. He's
one of the best midfielders ever.
Even Toni Kroos were insane.
Yeah.
Insane.
Yeah. It is ridiculous. Like that era of, I mean, Real Madrid spoiled, but you know, now maybe it's Arsenal's time. Sorry to bring it back to Arsenal, but I just can't. You know,
please keep bringing it back to Arsenal because it is our time.
I mean, look, if England lose, it'll be Arsenal's fault, right?
very well could be. I can see the headlines now.
Yeah.
If we don't, suddenly it's like, well, we haven't scored from set pieces. What's going on, you know?
Yeah.
I actually thought this World Cup was going to be, because of how many games there are, how hot it is and everything, I said before the World Cup, this is going to be the World Cup with the most set piece goals ever scored. Because of the most, like, this is going to be the most games ever.
Yeah.
But I just thought it was the way football's going, and I've been proved totally wrong. Watching the New Zealand goals there, I'm going, what is this? Joga Bonito reaching the far islands
that
of New Zealand.
I'm like, where did he come from?
Chris Wood playing like Ronaldo. He's like R9 Ronaldo. What's going on? You
well,
know?
This is where I think, you know, I find that in England, depending on what region of England you're in, some people care more about the national team. Some people care more about international football than others, right? When the international break hits, Twitter and all the every social media site's like, oh my god, another international break, like, are you ruining this?
England hates the international break.
but it's because the international break actually has no bearing on, because we know we're going to qualify, so this is why this is from a position of privilege as the English people, right? Like, we know we're going to qualify for the major international tournaments, therefore actually having to go through and watch what is effectively like null and void matches in the middle of like an unbelievable title race or a crazy relegation scrap. It's like, you're distracting us from the drama.
Yeah. How dare you?
So it's almost like, and we know, but then by the time the season's done, great. You have a parade, you celebrate whatever. Now it's time for international football. We're all in. Yeah. Great.
It's basically like
us. That's the end.
It's like when you're watching, a dramatic show. You're watching Game of Thrones, and somebody walks in front of the TV. That's the international break.
But it's like there's. It's like an ad break comes on.
Yeah.
And you go like, I love those crisps, or I like that soft drink.
Yeah.
But I'm into this right now.
Yeah, I don't even told you right now.
And then
it's game five and the Knicks just got up one.
But then when like series two is over, then you go, yes, right, I'm gonna grab a drink. And I'm glad the ad came on because now I can go and enjoy some food.
And I love, you guys call it a series, not a season, which
also
is great.
An ad break.
Let's go.
What's going on?
Let's wrap. We got a couple quick previews of a couple of other games. Iraq Norway, and we'll just give our quick thoughts on this. We were talking yesterday about Erling Haaland and how do we think he's going to fare at this World Cup. I'm thinking
Norway's my dark horse.
Yeah, no, I'm thinking they're gonna. The approach is probably gonna be let anybody beat you besides Erling Haaland. But what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think Erling is gonna. I think he's gonna do some damage for sure. Okay. Like, I agree, Alex, with the dark horse shout. Mm-hmm. There are a few dark horses. I would have Norway as one. I had Japan as one before the tournament as well. Like, I think there's little expectation just because it's been such a long time since they've been in a World Cup.
Right.
And they've got the players in their starting 11 anyway to do some damage. Especially that first game as well. It's maybe a bit of a nicer game.
I keep saying, like, look at a picture of Erling Haaland and Sørloth next to each other. You're like, Haaland's the small one?
Yeah.
This team is dangerous.
Yeah.
Rock, do you think they stand a chance in this game, or do you think we're going to see, like, Erling Haaland wants to make a statement?
Well, no, they stand a chance in the way that we've seen with all the opening games. Yeah. Every nation is like, who knows what's going on? Yeah. I don't know. This is why this World Cup has been amazing so far.
Okay.
But I think it's going to be in the tunnel for the Iraq defenders. They're going to just line up and they're going, what? We've never seen this before.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Why are these two?
Two people in a trench coat?
Well, yeah. It's like, I didn't realize they're playing against like Norse gods. Like they actually do exist still. You know?
And real quick, we're just France, Senegal. Quick, we got 90 seconds. But
could be the best game of the tournament. This, so
I mean,
far.
Yeah, I think in the last game, France lost to Ivory Coast in their warm up game before. And I'm like, all right, maybe there's a little bit of like cracks in the armor a little bit. So I'm a little bit. I might be. It might be a more surprising result than people think.
Yeah, possibly. You look at France's team, and it's a wonder how you just even find a starting 11 to play, because it's so unfair, but in the best way possible. But I think all the best games have been draws, especially 2-2s. So you got the Netherlands-Japan, which was 2-2.
Yeah.
New Zealand-Iran, which is 2-2. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
If this is 2-2, this would be... it might be 2-2. Yeah. It could be 4-4, seriously. Because look at that front line. It is a joke.
I think Spain thought they had an easy match versus Cape Verde, and obviously it didn't turn out that way, but France, you really do have a tough match against the actual AFCON winners.
If the US beat Senegal and France doesn't, that's it. We're the best team in this World Cup.
No joke. I know we're trying to wrap up and everything, but you could go deep in this tournament. I'm not joking.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the way you've played, it looks like the right smile on your face.
You got 10 seconds.
Okay. Get it out, because I want to hear the
American glazer. Because Pochettino knows what he's doing, but you might run out of steam at the end. Because
Tim Zeesh, thanks so much for joining us. Cooligans Daily. Come back tomorrow, noon Eastern. Bye, everybody.
Love you guys.
Peace.